Hi, I'm Joan Hume. Welcome to Wheeling Free. Today, our program will be brought to you by Terry Fletcher and Greg Johnson, as well as myself. On our show, you'll hear an update on Awareness Week with Greg Johnson. Later, John Moxon interviews Judy Finlayson from Network about their display for Awareness Week in the Lower Town Hall. Also on the program, Terry Fletcher interviews a rehabilitation counsellor. This interview with Jim Armstrong is part of our continuing series on getting a job. This is followed by an interview with Brett Wilson, who is speaking from the point of view of someone who's been through the rehabilitation system. All right, firstly, and now to Greg Johnson for an update on Awareness Week happenings.
And now to our segment on the Awareness Week activities. Awareness Week, as you know, is being held by the Sydney City Council to help raise public consciousness about disabled people. Many activities are planned on the Awareness Week theme of interdependence. As part of Awareness Week, Randwick Disabled Persons Action Committee is putting on a concert, and Joan Hume speaks with Irina Spinadell, producer of the concert.
In conjunction with Awareness Week, the Randwick Disabled Persons Action Committee is holding a concert at the Sir John Clancy Auditorium at the University of New South Wales on Sunday the 20th November at 6 p.m. The producer is Irina Spinadell. Irina, what's unique about this concert?
This concert is unique in its concept as it is featuring able performers and disabled performers at the same time, and for the first time, as far as I know, in New South Wales and maybe in Australia.
Who are the main artists that are appearing on the show?
The show will be compared by Jenny Leetle. Ron Haddrick is the star, with Wendy Scammell, Colin Clifford, Theatre of the Deaf, Kids on the Block, Joan Nish, the Xochipilli Mexican dancers, and many others.
What kind of acts are being performed?
There will be acting, dancing, opera, singing on the lighter side as well. There will also be instrumentalists such as pianists and Murray Curry playing the clarinet.
How did you originally get involved in the committee and producing?
Well, first of all, I joined the committee in 1980 when my daughter became disabled with alopecia.
What is alopecia?
Alopecia is a sickness, a baldness. Well, the disease is, in fact, baldness, total baldness.
Can you tell me, you know, what are the main difficulties involved in organising such a concert?
The main difficulty is to find a hall. In Sydney, there are practically no halls that can receive disabled people except the Opera House. We're very lucky to have the Sir John Clancy Auditorium at the University of New South Wales, which is almost perfect for this type of concert.
So the venue is the Sir John Clancy Auditorium. Is there parking available?
There is parking available.
And what special provisions will be made for our listeners who might be coming along on that night?
It's parking at the door, and disabled people can be driven to the door of the Clancy Auditorium.
And there's level access inside?
There is.
Okay, Irina, thank you. Can you tell us now, just finally, when and where it is?
The concert will be held on the 20th of November at 6 p.m, which is a Sunday, at the Sir John Clancy Auditorium, University of New South Wales, Kensington.
Irina, thank you very much.
Other fun activities include kite making, so go fly your kites, and flying in the domain. That doesn't mean to say you should try and fly like Superman. That is on Wednesday the 23rd. Then, after the official opening by the Premier on Saturday 19th at 11 a.m, there will be a rally at Sydney Square. So bring all your friends, ABs and DAs. If you want to publicise any information about issues of interest to DAs, there'll be information stalls, so contact Mr. William Guest on 20263. Starting on Tuesday of Awareness Week, there'll be many displays in Lower Town Hall. There'll be the logo competition to choose a theme for Awareness Week, so all you artistic types out there, get to pen and pad now. And remember, the theme is interdependence. Now hear this. The Handicapped Persons Alliance will hold a special conference on second weekend of Awareness Week, Saturday 26th, Sunday 27th. Phone 217-7376 if you want to go. You do, don't you? Outreach is putting on a play. And Kids on the Block, which tells the story of different disabled children, their thoughts and their feelings. And a new exciting event of Awareness Week is a sports day. Isn't that fun? At Cleveland Street High School on Thursday 24th or 9th. I wonder what that is.
24th.
Thank you, Terrence. No, I'm sorry. Teddy, female. Is she ever. And that's it for Awareness Week activities for this week. Goodbye.
And now, John Moxon will interview Judy Finlayson from Network about the display that they are putting on in the Lower Town Hall during Awareness Week.
Judy, I'm wondering if you can tell me just what Network is.
Well, actually, it is Community Activity Centres Network, and we act as a resource centre for community activity centres throughout the state. We're a very diverse group of people. We came together as a voluntary self-help organisation back in 1974, and we've since grown, and we now have an information and resource centre which provides support and backup for these centres.
And what are the aims of Network?
Well, the aims are really to bring people together to share ideas, to exchange information between groups, to provide self-help and backup, and also by getting together we can discover what some of the problems and needs are of these groups, and then we're in a very good position to bring forward proposals to government departments as regards funding and those sort of issues, which we try to do.
So you do get some government funding, do you?
Yes, we do. Not nearly enough, of course. We have funding to supply a coordinator and a part-time office worker. We do actually have a full-time office administrator and a part-time information coordinator. We see information as vitally important for people to achieve what they want to do. As a matter of fact, probably a lot of people know us by our newsletter called the Network News, which is very widely distributed throughout the state to our 700-plus members.
Right, so you are presenting as part of Awareness Week a display in the Lower Town Hall, Lower Sydney Town Hall. Perhaps you could tell us something about this display.
Yes, well, actually, we didn't put the display together. We've got one section on Network, but it's really a display which has been put together by seven local community arts centres from Liverpool, Blacktown, North Narrabeen, St George. And they have used local themes, and on large display boards, they have put together a exhibition of various types of artwork. Some of it is collage and pottery and so forth. But it's all on local themes, very colourful, very interesting, and we thought it would make a marvellous focus for our exhibited Awareness Week.
So the purpose of the display then really is to provide it as a focal point for people to contact you, is it?
Yes, well, as usual, of course, we're into information exchange, and so we hope that people will come along and find out what's going on at the centres, what the possibilities are for doing creative activities in the community, and I don't know how much these centres are used by people with disabilities, but there could be certain problems of access or times that the classes aren't suitable, and we hope to be able to pass this information on to the centres, and maybe they can do something about it because these centres are for the whole community. And then we also hope that we will find out what other people are doing, and that people can come along to us and let us know what's happening with different groups, and we will also be handing out information about what we know about groups who are doing different things in the community. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to find out all sorts of new information, And one thing we're also trying to do is to find out, get a register of creative artists working in the community, and we will have information there and forms for people to fill in, so that if we get asked, you know, who's available to help with this or that class, or if people say, I would like to learn this or that, we hope we can put them in touch with the people who can help them.
Well, that all sounds very exciting, Judy. Thank you for being on Wheeling Free this week.
And that's all about Awareness Week activities for this week. Tune in next week for further information, scintillating information about the activities as they develop and come up. And now, to a little bit of music from Tom Lehrer.
Trust me, for I know you'll disgust me when you're old and getting fat. An awful debility, a lessened utility, a loss of mobility is a strong possibility. In all probability, I'll lose my virility and you your fertility and desirability. And this liability of total sterility will lead to hostility and a sense of futility. So let's act with agility while we still have facility, for we'll soon reach senility and lose the ability. Your teeth will start to go, dear. Your waist will start to spread. In 20 years or so, dear, I'll wish that you were dead. I'll never love you then at all the way I do today. So please remember when I leave in December, I told you so in May.
Well, that was Tom Lehrer, and I hope you're all feeling suitably agile and virile after that. And now to our last item on the program, an interview conducted by Terry Fletcher with rehabilitation counsellor Jim Armstrong, followed by Greg Johnson's interview with a rehabilitatee, if that's the right pronunciation, Brett Wilson. And now to Terry.
A rehabilitation counsellor is a professional person working as part of a team working within the concept of rehabilitation for somebody, working on behalf of somebody that's been injured or suffered the effects of an illness or disease that, as far as I think most of us are concerned, has had their enjoyment of life and their vocational options restricted.
Right. So you would be interested in finding employment for disabled people. Now, how would a rehab counsellor find work for somebody, say, who was a tiler, suffered a traumatic injury, became a paraplegic?
Right, well, that sort of instance, Terry, is looking at somebody that will go through all the phases of habilitation or rehabilitation. You're looking at somebody who will obviously start off being offered services by an acute hospital unit, will be assisted with physiotherapy and occupational therapeutic needs, in mobility, in independent living at home, through being able to feed and bathe, toilet themselves. Rehabilitation, I suppose, is a process that's carried out through the combined efforts of a whole range of different specialist people in various agencies in the community. In our instance, starting off in an acute hospital situation, and then typically perhaps that person would be then able to gain access to a fairly comprehensive rehabilitation service such as the one that I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. and work within. And the rehab counsellor there is specifically responsible for coordinating the non-medical aspects of that person's rehab,
right.
Coordinating to some extent with the client, and managing with the client what they want to do in the future, and most typically assisting that person to get an idea of what their real abilities are when they've had particular options cut off from them. In your instance, somebody who will at some stage come to accept that they will not be able to climb back on roofs out of a wheelchair and tile again. So in the ideal situation, they'd get into a rehabilitation setting where all their abilities would be assessed as a whole person rather than looking towards the fact that they can no longer walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the area that the rehab counsellor is particularly interested in, because they're looking at the whole person. We can look at a physiotherapy assessment and assistance with that person being able to get themselves around better and build up the strength in muscles that they have left.
So it's a team effort, really.
Totally a team effort.
Mm.
And the most important person in that team is the client.
Client, yes.
From the beginning. The counsellor perhaps needs to be able to advocate for them and to help them steer them through the maze of legal and physical problems that they may have.
Right. Very much the role of an advocate then.
That's how I see a very big part of my role, yeah.
Well, Jim, once somebody's reached the optimum physical mobility and function, what specifically can you offer to help them find work?
I think, Terry, to make that, what you call optimum physical functioning, effective, the counsellor can contribute to that and contribute to the resettlement of that client by providing the sort of information, training, employment information, the supervision of people in alternate work settings through perhaps a work trial. This is possible under workers' compensation legislation and through a variety of schemes run by the CES, the Department of Social Security, and so on. The viability of any of those sort of placements, of course, depends on the results of the sort of assessment and retraining or re-education, whatever you want to call it, that the person has gone through in rehab.
Terry Fletcher, talking to Jim Armstrong, a rehabilitation counsellor. And now to Greg Johnson, interviewing somebody who's been through the mill, the other side of the wheelchair, perhaps?
I'd like to introduce Brett Wilson, who is a physically disabled person and has obliged us with this interview today. Brett, what is your disability?
I'm a C67 quadriplegic.
And what did you do before your accident, Brett?
I was an aircraft maintenance engineer with Qantas.
Why couldn't you go back to doing that now, Brett?
It was a pretty involved job, like getting in and out of really tight areas and using a lot of heavy tools and equipment that I'd never be able to do now.
How and why were you referred to the rehab system?
I think it was a social worker at the hospital, in North Shore Hospital, where I was being looked after my accident.
What sort of day-to-day activities did you do at the rehab?
That involved a lot of physical work mostly, lifting weights and a bit of swimming and building up the muscles that were weak. And in the afternoons, I used to do a bit of computer work and office training, sort of getting to know the office procedures and that. It's all pretty good.
What did you find most useful and what did you find a waste of time?
Oh, it was all really useful. I mean, I got to build up the muscles that I needed for transfers, and I got to learn office skills. I mean, I was an aircraft maintenance engineer. I didn't know anything like what was involved with that, so I did get a basic understanding of the new field of life.
What will you advise regarding services available at rehab while there?
Services like home care help and that. No, I don't remember hearing anything about it while I was there. I picked that up through other fields.
You didn't hear about any services at all, really? No advice was given in that regard?
No, well, I didn't really have many talks with my social worker anyway, otherwise I could probably have been better advised in that respect.
What age did you receive under the rehab system, such as wheelchair, car control? Did you receive any of those things?
Well, I got a bed and a wheelchair through that, but I didn't get any other equipment. And I was told that 6 months after I left there, I was still able to get things that I needed. Well, I'm still waiting now for bathroom modifications and ramps to be done to the house where I'm staying, which hasn't come through yet.
What improvements would you like to see in the rehab system?
There's not really any improvements I can think of to help disabled people. They've got everything there, proper workshops, and they've got all the facilities. It's a matter of putting them to good use.
What skills did you acquire at rehab, and did those skills help you get a job when you left the rehab?
Skills? No, I didn't learn any real skills there. It was mostly just learning basic things at the time. Nothing that would be able to help me get a job. Although if I went further into it and did some of the courses outside rehab that were available, tech courses and that, which was being helped arranged through the counsellor there, that would have been a good advantage.
And what advice would you like to give other disabled people who may be listening who are about to go through the rehab system?
Do it. It's a lot there you can learn. It's a lot there that, it's your choice, whatever it is you want to do, they'll help you do it.
It's better to be active than housebound. You'd agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're sitting around. If there's something there to be offered that you might be interested in, it's...
Brett, I'd like to thank you for being with us today and wish you all the best and luck in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was Greg Johnson interviewing Brett Wilson, preceded by Terry Fletcher with Jim Armstrong. And now to a slight change of pace, Cat Stevens with Moon Shadow.
I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land. Oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh, I won't have to work no more. And if I ever lose my eyes, if my colors all run dry, yes, if I ever lose my eyes, oh, I won't have to cry no more. Yes, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. Oh, if I ever lose my legs, oh, I won't have to walk no more. And if I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south, yes, if I ever lose my mouth, I won't have to talk. Take long to find me, I asked the faithful light. Oh, did it take long to find me, and are you gonna stay the night? I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. Shadow.
And now finally to Terry, who's got some very strong remarks to make about beauty contests.
Thank you, Joan. Last Monday evening in Melbourne, a very significant event took place that marked a turning point in the disabled movement. You may have read about it in the newspapers, or you may have witnessed it on television. About 50 disabled people, many of them in wheelchairs, protested against the crowning of Miss Victoria. This is a beauty contest which is held by the Spastic Society in Melbourne. This protest was against the charity ethic, that is, the fundraising activities that we disabled find so offensive. We find it offensive because it demeans us. It portrays us as nothing other than helpless objects of pity, burdens to the community, dependent on handouts. Our strengths and our abilities are totally ignored. Another aspect of this protest was that the disabled people were opposing the adulation of beautiful, if not brainless, women. This demeans we disabled women. It harms our self-image and our self-esteem. What do you think? Now, if you'd like to become involved in planning ways to rid ourselves of this fundraising, patronising, charity ethic, there is a way you can help. There is a media committee working in Sydney to try and abolish fundraising. And as well as that, it's involving itself with the media in attempting to influence them to change their portrayal of disabled people as either brave super crips or hopeless objects of pity. So if you're interested, contact the Handicapped Persons Alliance. The phone number is 217 7376. So that number again, if you're interested, 217 7376. And now back to Joan.
Well, that's all today from Wheeling Free. This is Joan Hume.
And Terry Fletcher.
And Greg, who's not here at the moment, signing off for Wheeling Free for today.
Traveling down that coal town road, listen to my rubber tires whine. Goodbye to Buckeye and White Sycamore, I'm leaving you behind. Oh, I've been a coal man all my life, laying down track in the hole. Got a back like an ironwood bent by the wind, blood veins blue as the coal, blood veins blue as the coal. Somebody said that's a strange tattoo you have on the side of your head. I said that's the mark of the number 9 coal. A little more and I'd be dead. Oh, but I love the rumble and I love the dark. I love the cool of the slate. But it's going down that new road looking for a job. This traveling and looking I hate. This traveling and looking I hate. I've stood for the union, walked in the line, fought against the company. I've stood for the UMW of A. Now who's gonna stand for me? Well, I got no home and I got no pay, just got a worry soul. And this blue tattoo on the side of my head, left by the number 9 coal, left me by the number 9 coal. Someday when I die and go to heaven, the land of my dreams, I won't have to worry on losing my job to bad and big machines. Well, I got no job and I got no pay, just got a worried soul and this blue tattoo on the side of my head, left by the number 9 call, left by the number 9.